screen behind me. If you've got a device or a Bible, it'd be great to turn there now. Now, I know we've spent time in 1 Samuel fairly recently as a church family, but I have a couple of Sundays, this Sunday, next Sunday, where we're between series. So we're between kind of looking at what the Minor Prophets, which we've been doing, and we're going to start looking again at Matthew's Gospel in September. So I've just got a couple of Sundays, which are often a real privilege as a pastor, because it just means I get to preach something that's on my heart, something that's hit me afresh. And this week I was reading 1 Samuel chapter 7, and I think like many of us are just finding ourselves in a time where you're a bit uncertain about what's ahead, you're feeling perhaps worried, anxious about stuff coming up, and 1 Samuel 7 this week just really spoke to my heart, and I wanted to share that with you guys today as well as we press on into the term that's ahead, particularly with all the COVID stuff still looming and what that means for all of us and those kind of things. So let me read 1 Samuel 7. We're going to focus just on one verse in the middle, but we'll read the whole chapter as we go through. So 1 Samuel chapter 7. So the men of Kiriath-Jearim came and took up the ark of the Lord. They brought it to Abinadab's house on the hill and consecrated Eleazar, his son, to guard the ark of the Lord. The ark remained at Kiriath-Jearim a long time, 20 years in all. Then all the people of Israel turned back to the Lord. So Samuel said to all the Israelites, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." So the Israelites put away their Baals and their Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, "Assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you." When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day they fasted, and there they confessed, "We have sinned against the Lord." Now Samuel was serving as leader of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. When the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, "Do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines." Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and sacrificed it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued, and they stopped invading Israel's territory. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. The towns from Ekron to Gath that the Philistines had captured from Israel were restored to Israel, and Israel delivered the neighboring territory from the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Samuel continued as Israel's leader all the days of his life. From year to year, he went on a circuit from Bethel to Gilgal to Mizpah, judging Israel in all those places. But he always went back to Ramah, where his home was. And there he also held court for Israel. And he built an altar there to the Lord. Well, just for a few moments this morning, I actually want us to think together this morning, particularly as those of us who are followers of the Lord Jesus, about the importance of remembering, of deliberately finding ways in our life to bring to mind, to recall the past help of Jesus in our lives. This deliberate act of remembering God's past help. You see, when life is tough, or when life feels scary or difficult or uncertain, or you're in a hard place because perhaps others around you are putting pressure on you in different ways and making life difficult, or when the future just seems so uncertain and the path just unlit and that you have no idea what's ahead of you, in those moments, it is the deliberate act of bringing to mind the past help of God that is crucial for our survival as Christians. That's really, if you take nothing else away today, that's what I want us to remember, okay? Remembering the past help of God is crucial for our survival, for our staying on track as followers of our Lord Jesus. You see, our lives, aren't they, are filled with ways, things around us that deliberately cause us to remember things from the past, aren't they? So let me just take a typical day for me last week. So I got up, I ate my breakfast, and my phone pings up a notification. Ding! And it says, remember this day 5 years ago. And all those photos that I take on my phone, it has a way of popping them up on certain days and saying, this was what happened 5 years ago today. And then I see this picture of us all on holiday 5 years ago and think, oh, I remember that holiday. And it brings to mind the past. It's like a notification, a deliberate thing. And then I leave the house. I work here in the building. And so I leave the house, say goodbye to my family, walking down to the church building. And I walk past a house, and it's got one of those blue plaques. It might be blue, I'm colorblind, it could be purple for all I know, but it's a blue plaque on a house, and it says, this is the home of Charles Lamb. Now, I have no idea who Charles Lamb is, but he's a poet who lived in Enfield, but there's a plaque, it's history, and it's a way of reminding me, even though it probably doesn't affect my daily life, it's a way of reminding me of the past, something on the wall that says, this is where Charles Lamb lived. Then I walk a bit further down to church, and on the corner up on Church Street, on Chase Side, you get the war memorial, this great monument to those who gave their lives for the freedoms that we enjoy today. It's there, it's right on the crossroads, and you see it every time you walk past, and it causes me to remember the past, to remember those who gave their life. And then I arrive here at the church building, and as you come in through the doors on either side over here, you'll notice that embedded in the walls are stones, big stones from the old church building with names on them of people who had served the church in the past, who had laid those stones all those years ago. And it reminds me, wow, God has been good to this church for so many years. Because these are the stones from ancient building times. Not ancient, that sounds a bit rude, doesn't it? Or like 100 years ago. That's definitely not ancient. I'm sorry about that. But that's what we do, isn't it? Our lives are filled with deliberate ways or ways that cause us to remember the past, to remember things that have happened. And I want to say to you that actually as Christians, we should have ways like notifications, or we should have ways like plaques on walls, and we should have ways of bringing to mind the past help of God, because it's crucial. It's crucial for us as Christians. And that's the reason I want us to look at 1 Samuel 7 this morning, because this is where we see it. Samuel gives a high place to the importance of remembering, bringing to mind the past help of God in the life of God's people. And actually, as we travel through the Bible, we discover that Jesus himself also gives a high place to the need of remembering the past help of God. And so look, come with me to chapter 7, verse 12. This is really where I want to give us our time this morning. Just one verse. We've preached this chapter fairly recently, but just look at this verse. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, thus far has the Lord helped us. See, following a great victory, we read the chapter together, you heard the story, following a great victory where the Lord's people had been in a moment of turning back to the Lord, they'd been at sort of almost a religious festival, putting themselves right with God. In that moment, suddenly an enemy comes on and attacks them, or is threatening to attack them. And they find themselves in this very tense situation. And out of that day, out of a moment where Samuel, the Lord's leader, sacrifices and he prays for them, the Lord brings about a huge victory for them. And following this victory, Samuel, the man of God, the leader of God's people, the one who brings the word of God to them, he sets up, he instigates a way that the people will remember that the Lord has helped them. So you look at chapter 7 and verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone. He took a stone, not a pebble. I don't know if some of you have seen those things. There's little pebbles hidden in bushes around Enfield. Have you ever seen those little things? And sometimes little drawings on them, and it says if you find this pebble, you know, you can photograph it, put it on Facebook, and then you can hide it again. Now, Samuel didn't do that. He wasn't like, hey, this is a really great idea. I'm going to find a little pebble, and I'm going to put it on the side of the road. And if anyone finds it, if they're lucky enough to find it, then they'll remember this. Now, I presume when it says he took a stone, it means he took something whopping and big that would stand in the road and everyone would see it as they walked past. Not a hidden pebble for Facebook, but a huge rock. And he puts it in a prominent place. Did you notice that? Look at verse 12. He puts it between a place called Mizpah and a place called Shen, which we think is kind of a rocky crag somewhere between these two places, a prominent road, the place where the Lord won this great victory for them. And he puts it in a place where everyone would see it, where it would remind them of the things that happened on that place. And then, perhaps odd to us, but he gives it a name. He writes on it, he inscribes on this stone that stands in the road, Ebenezer, which means stone of help. As people walk past, they would have seen this name inscribed. Perhaps as a family walks past and a kid says, hey, Dad, look, there's a stone. What does it mean? And he says, it means the stone of help. Now, obviously, he's not saying that that stone is their help, but it's there to remind them something. And we know that because he gives it a meaning. Look at what he goes on to say. It's the stone of help. And then he says, this is what it means. Thus far, up to this point, the Lord has helped us. God has been our help. God helped us on this day, in this place. He won a great victory. So you see, he sets up this way in front of all God's people, where they would see it day in, day out on their walk, wherever they went, they would see this stone, Ebenezer, stone of help. Now, what is it that he wants them to remember? Well, I think he's getting them to remember two things. First of all, he's getting them to remember something specifically about the Lord, about God, their God, the one they worship. And that is that the Lord is their help, the stone of their help. See, he is the strong source of the help that they need. So think about this phrase, stone of help. It's very common in the Bible to describe the Lord, God of the Bible, as a rock, as a stone. It's a picture, isn't it? A really tangible picture of immovability, of strength. We had a pretty interrupted holiday by all having COVID this year, but we did manage to get a few days down on the beach in Worthing. And on the beach down there are these massive rocks. Now, after playing on them, I saw the sign that says, please don't play on them. But we did have a play on them, and they are huge, immovable, strong things. It's something in our world that we can all connect with that says, this is strong, this is big, this is powerful. You don't mess with these things. You can't move them. And when God calls himself a rock in the Bible, he wants you to have that in mind. He is the rock. He is a strong one. He's immovable. And he's the source, the strong source of help, the stone of help. The Lord often in the Bible is called the helper, the one who comes to the aid of his people. See, when you talk about God as a helper, it maybe sounds a little bit like he's there to do me favors. We use help that way, don't we? You know, oh, I need a bit of help right now, so I'll pull God out of the box. You know, he's my helper. But actually, the word is very different in the Bible. That the Hebrew word really carries the idea of the one being coming to the aid of you because you can't do it yourself. When you're stuck in a place of weakness and trouble, and just like they are in 1 Samuel 7, the Lord is the helper. He comes to the aid, to the rescue, to the saving of his people. See, he wants them to remember as he sets up this stone of help. He's saying to them, look, you need to remember this about the Lord. He is the strong source of your help. He is the one that you should run to. And more than just getting them to remember that about the Lord, he's rooting it in a particular day. He's saying to the people, it's not just that the Lord is your help. You know he's the source of your help because of what happened on the place that I put this rock. The Lord won a great victory. 1 Samuel 7, the story we've just read, is the story of how the Lord rooted this army. He routed them out of the way. He pushed them aside by thundering down on them. The Lord won the victory on that day when they were helpless and powerless and stuck on the top of a mountain praying to God, which seems so weak in the eyes of the world. It was then that the Lord came to their aid. It was then that a great victory was won. See, Samuel, the man of God, he sets up a way of them remembering, bringing to mind the fact that the Lord is the source of their help, that he is the one who has helped them in the past. He brings to mind, he says, look, up to this point, when you see that stone on the road, up to this point, you need to remember that the Lord has helped us. He is the source of our help. You still with me? Good. Three of you are. That's nice. Actually, what's that got to do with us? Well, as we travel through the Bible, what we discover is that our Lord Jesus Christ, another man of God with the word of God, the leader of his people, calls us to remember something. He sets up, as it were, an Ebenezer. He wants us to bring to mind another day, not of battle at Mizpah, but of battle at Calvary. And he says to us, I need you to remember this day, because it's this day that we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is our strong source of help. At Calvary, the Lord Jesus proved himself to be the one who comes to the aid of his people when they are powerless and helpless and stuck at the hands of an enemy. At Calvary, we discover that Jesus is the one who helps us while we are still sinners, while we are still turned away from him. See, at the cross, Jesus came to our aid. He came to rescue us from the power of sin. How does he do it? Well, he exhausts the punishment for sin. As he hangs on that cross, he is exhausting the punishment for every sin, for every time I've turned away from God and wanted nothing to do with him. It was laid on Jesus and he exhausted it. There is no punishment left because he's taken it. He won a victory over sin. He won a victory over our enemy, the devil, at the cross because he took away the devil's ability to accuse us. That's the devil's greatest weapon. Did you know that? His weapon is accusation. You've done this. You've done this. And he accuses and he accuses. But at the cross, Jesus destroys that power because he takes away any reason that the devil could accuse us. And he wins a victory over the grave because 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead. Death no longer has a hold. You see, Jesus won. That is the day. On that day, Jesus did it all. Just as God did it all in 1 Samuel 7 at the cross at Calvary. Jesus comes to the aid of his people. He wins a great victory. And Jesus has left us with a way of remembering that day. It's not a rock on a road, but it's a table in a church with bread and with wine. And he says to his disciples, do this in remembrance of me. Raise your Ebenezer. Remember at this point, find deliberate ways of bringing to mind the cross and saying, thus far as the Lord helped us. Look, he's given us everything. See, why is it so important? Why is it so important that the people of God find ways to remember the past help of God? Why did Samuel go to all this effort of setting up a rock? Why did Jesus want us to remember Calvary? Why is it written down for us that we can engage in it every day? Well, let me just give you two ways that I think flow out of 1 Samuel chapter 7. Here's the first. Remembering the past, bringing to mind the cross will keep us looking up for help. When we feel overwhelmed by life's problems, and maybe that's you right now, when you feel unsure about the future, when the path just seems a bit uncertain and unlit and you're not quite sure what's coming, it's very easy, isn't it, to look elsewhere for help, to chase off to other places. See, that's the problem that the people of God had back in 1 Samuel 7. Look at verse 3 and 4. See, Samuel calls the Israelites, if you're returning to the Lord, then you need to rid yourselves of all these foreign gods and the Ashtoreths and commit yourself to the Lord and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines. So the Israelites put away their Baals and their Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. You see, the Baals and the Ashtoreths are maybe kind of weird bits of history to us, but these were idols, and perhaps more to the point, they were ideologies. They were ways of thinking. If I go to this God, if I pray to this God, then he will help me with these things, and he'll be the source of my help. You know, whether that was for them kind of fertility or the ground producing its food or whatever it might be, whatever was important to them. They said, if we run to these places, then we will get help. And instead of turning to the Lord, their God, who'd helped them and loved them and rescued them, they were chasing off to other places instead. And there is a danger in that for us too, isn't there? It depends on the nature of the problem, but we can be so quick to run to other things, to run to other places, to run to other systems and ideologies to say, well, that's where my help's going to come from. That's the source of my help, isn't it? Or trouble comes and we leave the Lord out of it. But if Christians, if followers of Jesus are deliberately bringing to mind the past help of the Lord, we're bringing to mind Calvary, we're bringing to mind all the times he's helped us, then what it does is it keeps us looking up rather than chasing out to other things. As I stop to remember my Ebenezer of the cross, as I stop to remember little Ebenezers in my life of the times that the Lord has helped me, I'm reminded that the Lord is the strong source of help. Why would I go anywhere else? The Lord's help, now it may come through means. Okay, please don't misunderstand this. The Lord's help for us may come through means, but we very often then mistake the means for the source of help. You know, so he may help us through friendships. He may help us through systems that we have. He may help us through the NHS. He may help us through agencies or people at church. But ultimately, where does my heart lean? Where does my heart look to as the source of help? Remembering is so important because it keeps us looking up for help. There's a hymn we sing and it says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We're so prone to forgetfulness, aren't we? When difficult times press in, when troubles come, when the future starts to seem uncertain, we're very forgetful of the past and all the ways that God has helped us. But remembering, deliberately remembering, keeps us looking up to the Lord as the source of our help. And I want to say to you, are you struggling this morning? Are you fearful at the moment? Are you in need of help? Are you feeling overwhelmed? Then let me encourage you this morning to bring to mind the past help of the Lord. That means bringing to mind the cross. Because if you're going to look at any place in history that declares to you the Lord is our source of help, then it has to be the cross, doesn't it? Sing about it. There's loads of great songs that you can shove in your ears and on an iPod or whatever it is and listen to songs about the cross that declare to you, look where the source of our help is. And it's not just the cross. The Lord's given us a whole book of stories of the ways that he has helped his people in the past. And these are our Ebenezers. These are our Ebenezer stones, as it were, that say, look how he helps people. Look at the help he gives. He is the source of help. And I also want to say to you, do it personally. I don't know if any of you are in the practice of keeping a journal. I wouldn't confess that I do it lots. But on occasions where the Lord has helped you very specifically in your life, write it down and thumb through them. When things are difficult, when you're thinking, I feel abandoned by God, I don't know what's coming up next, I feel overwhelmed by my troubles, then get your little book of Ebenezers out and say, oh, look, the Lord has helped me. How are we doing for time? 20 minutes. Okay, I'm going to take a slight diversion for a second. Let me share with you one of my Ebenezers. Now, this is going to seem like the most ridiculous story in the world to most of you, but this is one of my Ebenezers, okay? When I was about 10 or 11 years old, I remember one of my first interactions with really running to the Lord for help, and he did it. It was a school project. It is not important. It wasn't world-changing. It was to do with lolly sticks and glue. And I remember coming home one day from school thinking I'd made a total hash of this project. And it had really bothered me because I wanted to do this project well. And I remember praying in the evening, like, oh, Lord, I really would love a chance to do this again. And it was my first interaction of really going to God for help, even as a young guy, just 10 years old. And the next morning, we got into school, and the teacher said, I think we're going to start the project again this morning. And I remember, this is like it's a nothing story, but I remember that being the point in my life where I thought, wow, God is real. And if you run to him for help, he does help. He doesn't always give us what we want, but that is one of my Ebenezers. And still today, a story about lolly sticks and glue helps me to keep going when things are tough because I remember, well, God helps. He helps us when we pray. I experienced it at 10, and I'm experiencing it at 42. The Lord helps his people as they run to him. The Lord wants us to remember things. Have you got stories? Have you got Ebenezer stories? May not be about lolly sticks and glue. But the Lord helps his people. And when you have stories from the past, you can bring them out when things are tough to keep you looking up, to keep you looking to the right place for help. So thing number one, the importance of remembering is that it helps us to look in the right place, keeps us looking up. Second thing, a bit more quickly, remembering keeps us looking forward with hope, forward in hope. Look at verse 12 again. Samuel uses the phrase, thus far, up to this point, the Lord has helped us. Now, in saying it like that, he's got one eye on the past, and I think he's also got one eye on the future. Because it's a time statement, isn't it? Up to this point in time, God has helped us. But it's also a time statement because he then puts one eye on the future. And he's saying, look, if the Lord has helped us in the past, we can be pretty sure that he will help us in the future. Looking back on the way God has helped us gives me hope for the way the Lord will help us in the future. Again, life, when it overwhelms and the road ahead seems so unknown and uncertain and perhaps full of troubles, it can even seem scary. In those moments, it is remembering the past help of God that can give us some kind of peace and hope about the road that's ahead of us, whatever it may hold. Let me try and demonstrate this. This is quite an important thing. So if you've tuned out for a few moments, this is a good moment to come back in, okay? Because this is key Christian thinking, all right? Romans chapter 8, verse 32 says this. This is Paul speaking, and he reasons like this. He says, well, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, see what he's doing? He's looking to the past. If God did that for us, then he goes on to say, well, how will he not also give us all things along with him, graciously giving us all things. So he's got one eye on the past, and he's got one eye on the future. He says, well, look, if God's gone to all the bother of helping us, by loving us, by sending his son to die for us, to bring us out of our trouble, if he's brought all the bother of bringing me to trust the Lord Jesus, then why would he abandon me? Why would he give up on me now? Now, I can be confident that if he's helped us in the past, then he will help us in the future. See, recalling the past helps us to look forward with hope. That he who began a good work in us will bring it to completion. Robert Robinson was a man who wrote a hymn that we sometimes sing here at church. Come, O Fount of Every Blessing. Some of you will know that song. In fact, I quoted it earlier, Prone to Wander. But there's a verse in that hymn that we don't sing anymore, and I think it's simply because people don't know what it means, but it comes straight out of 1 Samuel chapter 7. He says this, here I raise my Ebenezer, here by thy great help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive home. Now, I guess we don't sing it because most people walking into church would just think we're a bit odd if we're singing, here I raise my Ebenezer. You're thinking, what are they talking about? But actually, it comes straight out of 1 Samuel 7. And it says here that the hymn writer is saying, look, up to this point in my life, today, I'm going to raise an Ebenezer. I'm going to raise a stone that says, look, God's helped me this far. By his help, I've come to this point. I'm a believer in Jesus. I've got to where I am. He's kept me. But then he goes on to say, and I hope, you see what he does? He joins the two together. And I hope that by thy good pleasure, not hope as in, oh, it might happen, but a certain hope. I hope, I'm certain, by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive home. You've loved me, you've brought me this far, and I know you will help me in the future. And that's the importance of remembering. Remembering past help gives me confidence for the future help that God will give. Remembering the Lord's help, both looking to the cross and personally in your life, is so important. Why? Because it will keep you looking up to the right place for help, and it will keep you looking forward in hope. Friends, when life is tough, and it really can be, can't it? And when life is scary, and when life is difficult and uncertain, and there are unknowns ahead of us, when the enemy of sin and the devil and temptation presses in, you need to get out your Ebenezers. You need to say, stone of help. The Lord is our stone of help. Look to the cross. Remind yourself of the cross. Remind yourself of all the times that the Lord has helped you up to this point. And let them drive you to him for help and to look forward with hope. As Samuel says, thus far has the Lord helped us. And therefore, he will safely lead us home. Hope that's helpful. That's really helped me this week, just as we look ahead as a church family. But let me pray that in, and then let's sing in response. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you this morning that you are our stone of help. Our strong source of help, whatever we face, whatever's ahead of us. We thank you that thus far you have helped us. Thank you for the cross in our greatest weakness of our sin and our captivity to Satan. You came to our aid. You became the source of our help, forgiving us, defeating our enemy, conquering the grave. We thank you for this moment in history that reminds us that you have loved us with an undying love, that you are the source of our help. We want to thank you for help thus far as a church. Lord, you've kept us. You've loved us. You've helped us, sustained us, even through this last year and a bit of COVID stuff. Lord, you've kept us together, and we're so thankful. Thus far have you helped us. Father, as individuals, we want to take moments to say thank you that thus far have you helped us. And so, Father, knowing that to be true, we want to raise our eyes to you today and look up to you for the help that we need, for all that's ahead. Father, if there's any of us here in particularly difficult situations, we want to lift our eyes to the right place, to you, the stone of help, the source of help. Father, we lift them today, and we want to look forward in hope, confident that you, who began a good work in us, will bring it to completion. Father, we look forward in hope, hope for this church, hope for us as individuals, hope for our world. Father, thus far have you helped us, and so therefore we can be confident of your future help. Lord, we praise you this morning for these good truths. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let's sing of that.